Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk. Hey guys, welcome back to the In Hope Podcast. Just wanted to continue this conversation that we started about the names of God and actually walking through some of these. And so we're going to pick back up, and we started this list. Now that look, this list is over 200 names long, so we're likely not going to hit all of them, but we just figured we'd get things flowing here. And more than importantly than just hitting every single one of these names, we also want to hear from you guys. Comment, share some of your favorite names of God, why you like those. And you can even share a little bit about why you feel like that helps unify us, right? Because we always want to touch on that idea of unity within the body of Christ. That's why we're here. You, me, Brandon, all of us unifiers out there who are passionate about seeing the body of Christ more unified and strengthening unity in the body. And so we're going to jump into these names. We're going to talk about them a little bit, and please join that conversation. Like, share, subscribe, share this with some friends, talk about it a little bit. And you can also help be a unifier and continue these conversations by donating even $2, $1 here and there. You know, give up a cup of Joe, give up a coffee so that you can help continue to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ with us. And we're looking at this word number 7 here. We hit names 1 through 6 last week. And so we wanted to jump back in to number 7, which comes from Hebrews chapter 3. This one may actually turn some heads a little bit, just because it's not a phrase we typically use towards Jesus, but it is in there, y'all. It is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. So let me get there real quick, and I'll read this verse to you guys. Before I do, as we normally do, let's open up in a word of prayer. Typically before each episode, sometimes it's on, sometimes it's off. Brandon and I will pray together, and he's not here. He left me by my lonesome, but he left us together, right? So we're going to pray together really quick, and then we'll jump right into this. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for that. And we ask that you would just help us to know you more. And in doing so, you would help us to understand who we are, our identity in you more. And not just us alone, but to grow in a love and appreciation for our brothers and our sisters as well, due to your love for them, your relationship to them. And we pray that as we go through these names, you would just speak to us, reveal these things to us, help us to know you, love you, and serve you more, and to be growing in unity with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So we're looking at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. It says, therefore, holy brothers, how often do you call, you know, our brothers and sisters, holy brothers. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. The apostle. Now, that's not a phrase we typically use towards Jesus. We often talk about the apostles, the disciples, right? But we often don't use the term apostle towards Jesus, but it is very fitting, especially when you're talking about him being the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, you see, this term apostle is often relates to the 12 disciples of Jesus, right? That we know, but there is even a broader use of this term apostle. And when I want to look at some of these definitions, and it says, one of them says, the first successful Christian missionary in a country or to a people. And this is the one, and this is why this next term, why that carries so well, and why I believe this term fits so well for Jesus. And you'll hear this term used today, people who have apostolic gifting and apostolic bent. This is really what it means here. And it is a vigorous and pioneering advocate or supporter. Remember, we read just the other, or we talked about last week, how Jesus is our advocate. This is a vigorous and pioneering advocate or supporter of a particular policy, idea, or cause. A vigorous and pioneering advocate or supporter. So we go from, remember talking about Jesus as the advocate last week a little bit, to this term apostle means he is a pioneering, a vigorous advocate. And now to be a pioneering, it means you're the first. You're the ones going out there first. And that's why we can look at some people today and we say, hey, they have apostolic leading, apostolic bent. Usually people who are like entrepreneurs, they want to blaze a trail. They're willing to get things started. And this is our Lord. He is the apostle of our confession. We see him lead the way. And that's why as Christians, we are Christ followers, right? We're following the Alpha, where he's leading the way in our confession. And so he is the apostle, the vigorous and pioneering advocate or supporter. Guys, this is so important, because as we try to live in a way that we are following him, that we are being like him, that we're drawing close to him and we're doing what he did, sometimes we can find ourselves in unknown, uncharted territory, to us at least, right? If not to others. And sometimes it, especially if you're one of those people who have kind of that apostolic, the entrepreneur gifting, sometimes you're stepping out there, you're going out on a limb. Sometimes this is exactly what God calls you to. Even if you don't feel like you have that leading, sometimes God's going to, you know, he's going to pull you out of your comfort zone. I always say he's just outside of our comfort zone, right? And so sometimes you may feel like you're out there on your own, on a limb, and you're pushing against a wall, but I want you to be encouraged by knowing Jesus is the apostle of our confession, right? He is if you're sharing the gospel truth, you're out there spreading the word, right? You're out there trying to be like him, to do what he did, then he has gone before you. Even now, remember, in the Great Commission, it says that he will never leave or forsake you. And no, that doesn't mean that, hey, I'm behind you, I got your back. Nah, that's not him. He is our apostle. He goes before us. He is at work before us, before we even know it. Before we see it, before we know it, he is at work. And so in that, let that be an encouragement, especially for my unifiers out there, where sometimes you feel like you are struggling, you are working uphill, you are running into walls, and that this is difficult. You're trying to break some ice, right? Know that soil, though it may seem hard, though it may seem rocky, know that your apostle, your advocate, your Lord goes before you. He has vigorously pioneered before you. He has not sent you in a way that you're going to be, you know, going through a bunch of untamed brush among the wild. But he has already started to make a path. And though it may be rocky, though it may be slippery, though the way may be narrow and dangerous and difficult, right? He has pioneered for you. So he is charting that path. That's why we follow him as the way. Right. So he is our apostle. Number eight, he is, as we see in Hebrews, we're going to stay here in Hebrews. Right. And we're going to just flip over to chapter 12, verse 2. Some of y'all may recognize that. Some of y'all may be calling it out already. because this is one of the, this is a more popular phrase attributed to Jesus. It says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In some versions, it says, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. We see in Jesus our faith lived out perfectly. But not only did he live it out perfectly, he drew it up. He is the author. And to me, it's one of the most amazing things about Christianity. People could not make this up. He is the author. People could not make up this book. People could not make up this way of living. People could not make up Christianity, this faith. Every time man has, every time some type of substitute has sprung up, it cannot triumph. It cannot match what we see here. And this beautiful faith, this beautiful confession, this beautiful kingdom that we're invited into, he is the author of it. We can try, people have, people will, and try again. Nothing will ever be as beautiful, as great as this. And if we ever feel like, maybe there is, if we ever feel like, oh, that's not that beautiful, if someone, you know, maybe scoffing and thinking there's nothing, you know, beautiful about Christianity, or thinking of a bunch of wrong or horrible with it. You don't know it. you may think you do, but you don't know it. If you don't recognize the beauty, the majesty, of what is found here, this is so far above and beyond what any man or anything less than God himself, because I would say the angels themselves, and it says this within their word, they peer in, right? And they are peering into the mystery of this gospel, of what has happened, what God is accomplishing. They couldn't come up with it either, right? This is so beautiful, so far above and beyond anything else. Our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith, is who he is. And so we want to recognize that, and recognize that also as when we're looking at others, sometimes we feel like we know our faith so well. I was talking about this, you know, in relation to, you know, maybe a scoffer who's looking down on Christianity, doesn't really know it, right? But even brothers and sisters, sometimes we feel, sometimes we will feel like we know it well enough to judge others and their faith and their relationship. We aren't the author, guys. There is a passage in here where God talks about my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above yours, right? And so often when we think we have a grasp on it and we can start really judging and determining others' faith and relationship, we're thinking on that level of the earth, and God's ways are far beyond our ways. We've kind of talked about this a little bit when it came to, for example, the thief on the cross. There are so many things that we as believers kind of put little check marks on and say, like, this is what needs to happen. This is how we can know. This is how we can know. This is what we need to believe. And this is what we need to believe. And that thief on the cross just kind of blows the doors off of all of it. And we can see that time and time again throughout scripture of mankind having these things, like these check marks, these ideas of what matches up, what doesn't match up, what shows a true believer, who isn't a true believer. And God just blows the doors off of those things so often when we look throughout scripture. And that's because he is the author. He is the perfecter, right? He knows it, and his ways are far above our ways. And so let that be something that keeps us humble. Let that be something that keeps us in awe of how powerful and far reaching, how deep, how wide, how great his grace, his mercy, and his love is for humanity. All right. So you guys, there's one more. I was going to say that was the last A, but there's one more, and it comes from Matthew 28:18. And I'm not sure that my version is going to use this word, but we'll see. And I'll just let you guys know what the word is if my version doesn't. 28:18. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them," here it is, "all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So this title that we have here on our list is authority. He is the authority. All authority on heaven and on earth, and heaven and earth has been given to me. You guys, this is so big, because this is the Great Commission is what we're seeing here. And so as he's saying this, he's saying all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. There's nothing above him. There's nothing that can stand against what he says. There was a scene earlier within the Gospels where this centurion comes to Jesus and he's asking him to heal a servant of his. And he says, "I'm not worthy to have you in my home, but I too am a man of authority who is under authority, and with others in authority underneath me," right? Or who are under my authority. And I know when I say do this, it is done. When I say go here, do that, then it happens. So he looks at Jesus and he says, "All you have to do is say the word, and I know it will be done." Because he's looking at him and he's recognizing, you are the authority. Well, look at this. Right after Jesus announces this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, in heaven and on earth, right? He says this, and I have to emphasize that on earth, because sometimes we're like, oh, well, yeah, you know, in heaven, but we live in a fallen world. In heaven and on earth, he says, all authority has been given to him. There is nothing that can, you know, a veto that can go above or override what Jesus says, what he puts his hands to do here on earth. Nothing's going to stop that. And so this is what he says following that, with knowing this about him. This is what he speaks. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Go and make disciples of all nations, knowing he has all authority. Us knowing he has all authority, that he is the authority, he tells us, go make disciples. Nothing's going to stop that. Nothing. Woo, guys, nothing can stop that. Nothing has and nothing will stop the spreading of the gospel, the multiplication of disciples throughout the world. From that time until today, the disciples have been multiplying and growing throughout the world, sometimes in huge waves and sometimes as remnants. But there is consistently a growing and a multiplication and a going of discipleship that has been happening throughout the world, throughout history. And you guys, this is something that we're called to be a part of. And so this is one of those things that not only should this be a driving factor, something that encourages us to be in unity together, because remember, our unity helps others. It helps the world to know who he is, that God sent him, that God placed this authority on him, right? Our unity helps to show that. Our unity helps to make this discipleship of others possible, of going and fulfilling this great commission. Our unity is part of this. And when we see this, oh, guys, we go, we make disciples in unity because all of this authority that he has spoken with that and given us this commission to go and do it. I need a moment. I need a moment. Because there's something that I just lost in thought, and y'all needed to hear it. There's something that I just lost in thought. I might have to come back to it, but you guys, this idea of us going, making disciples because he is the authority. This is something that drives us forward in unity with one another, is that we are under his authority, that we walk in his authority. It always has to come back to him. And it is with that authority that he calls us not to just only make disciples, but he calls us and he says that we are one. He is the Amen. He is the Advocate. He is the Almighty. He is the Alpha. He is the Oh, did we skip? Oh my goodness. I think we skipped one. You guys. How did this happen? How did you let this happen? We skipped one. We got to go to Psalms 2. Psalms 2. Here we go. This is going to be our last A. Because we skipped it, I got to get there. Psalm 2. Let me make sure. See, I'm having a hard time finding it again. Why does this one keep on ducking me? Psalm 2, verse 2. This is a really good one, especially for our Lord. This is something, one of the reasons why we call him what we do. In Psalm 2, I'm going to read verse 1 with it. Psalms 2, it says, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? There are," side note, "there are those who actively fight against, try to snuff out, push against the moving forward of God's kingdom in this world. You guys, they plot in vain. They plot in vain." It says here, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." He is the anointed. This is why we call him Christ. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who God sent. He is the anointed one. He is the king. He is the anointed one. You guys, there's this passage. Ooh, let me read it. Let me read it, because we have to read this. So anointing within scripture was often this seen as this visual, this physical representation of God's blessing and favor on someone, preparing them, setting them apart for something God has called them to. Here we go. Here we go. And this is one that we have likely heard before, that you will likely hear again. because this is such a beautiful example of this anointing. One of those that were anointed in the Old Testament was Aaron, the high priest, the first high priest. Now, whenever a high priest was coming into office, he also would take anointing, but the calling out of Aaron, the very first high priest, happens here in this passage, because that's where it started, right? It started with him, this lineage of high priest being passed on to help minister to and represent God with the nation of Israel, and Israel representing them to the rest of the world. And so you have this priesthood that's so important within the Bible. And here in Psalm 30 or 133, we read this. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." I'm going to say that again. How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Why? It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard, of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. You guys, this is a picture of the anointing of Aaron, of the high priest, the oil being poured on him, and that oil coming down, anointing him, setting him apart for ministry, to minister before and to come into the presence of God, to minister on behalf of God to the people, to minister to God and be this advocate, to be this person who is what's the word I'm looking for? Somebody knows exactly what I'm thinking. to be there representing God to the people, and the people for God. There's a word for this. Somebody knows exactly what I'm saying. Put it in the comments. And he is there with this oil running down. And it says, this is what it's like for us to dwell in unity. You guys, this is what it's like for us to dwell, to be set apart, to be called into the presence of God, to be set apart to minister to him, to be set apart to minister to the people on behalf of him, right? Like, this is amazing. This is what it is for us to dwell in unity. Y'all ain't hearing me. This is that anointing. This is why we're called to it. And this is why it talks about Jesus, not only in this sense. He's anointed as our priest. He was anointed as the Messiah, the King, the one sent by God, right, to free us. He is our Savior. He is the Lamb. He is the High Priest. He is our triumphant and victorious King. He is the Anointed One. Man, so here we go. I think we're going to end right there, because that's all of the A's. And so I think we're just going to end right there, and we're going to close this off, guys. And I'm going to close us in a word of prayer. I just want you guys to remember, please join the conversation. Share some of your favorite names of God. We want to check those out. Tell us why. Tell us why you think that even helps bring us to unity and unity with one another. Or ask us to say, hey, what are your thoughts on this word or that title, this name? All right. But we'd love to hear from you guys. Share your thoughts. And remember to also share with others. Share this video with family, friends. Continue the conversation. It doesn't just have to be with myself and Brandon, right? Share this conversation. Be a unifier. Let's emphasize and put more focus and conversation around unity in the body of Christ, and also help strengthen unity in the body of Christ by donating. You can give as little as a couple of dollars a month, but we encourage you guys to pray on that and share with us. If you feel like you're getting encouragement from this, please like, subscribe, please give us a review. That helps, again, to share, to pull others in and just broaden this conversation so that we have more conversation around unity within the body. You know, we're going to be here. We're going to be beating on that drum. We're going to be doing what we can to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We invite you to be a unifier with us, subscribing, sharing, commenting, reviewing, giving, and being part of this mission to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. All right. You guys, we just worked our way through the A names. All right. That was nine different A names here. And like I said, this list is about 200 long. So I didn't want to get too far into them. I know Brandon's going to want to jump on some of these. And again, we want to hear from you guys. But let's close this in prayer. As Father, we recognize you as our advocate, Lord Jesus. We recognize you as the Almighty One, Father. We recognize you as the Alpha. We recognize you as the Amen. We recognize you as the one who comes and steps in with Holy Spirit whispering the words of God to us, encouraging us, being a messenger of God, a messenger of the Lord. We recognize you, the Anointed One, the one who could do what no other could do, Lord Jesus. We recognize you as the apostle of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith. We recognize you as the authority who sends us and help us to walk with courage, with boldness, as we step forward and walking in the with the gospel of peace, walking with your grace and your mercy to share with others, with your love. Give us the courage and the boldness, because sometimes we need courage to love right. Sometimes we need boldness to share grace and to share your mercy. Help us, Father, to walk with that confidence, knowing you are not just a authority, you are the authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. And so we rest under the shadow of your wings. We rest, Father, carrying the banner under your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for who you are. And we ask again that you just help us to know it more. We ask that you help us to make it known all the more. In Jesus' name, Amen. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.